From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. $200 for truancy, $175 for bringing a vaping device to school, $250 for shoving a friend over a bottle of Lipton peach iced tea. These fines and fees are just a few examples of something that's happening in communities across Illinois. Thousands of students under the age of 18, some as young as 8 years old, have gotten ticketed by police officers for incidents that happen on school grounds. Not only does this amplify the consequences of adolescent misconduct, but it also violates the intent, if not the letter, of at least two Illinois laws. Last week, the Chicago Tribune and ProPublica co-published a deep-dive investigation on this. It was called The Price Kids Pay: Schools and Police Punish Students with Costly Tickets for Minor Misbehavior. And it documented more than 11,800 tickets from the last few school years. The story generated almost immediate action. Hours after publication, Illinois State Superintendent of Education Carmen Ayala wrote a letter to school officials statewide. She described districts that do this as having abdicated their responsibility for student discipline to local law enforcement. She said, "If your district slash schools are engaging in this practice, I implore you to immediately stop and consider both the cost and the consequences of these fines." The reporters who led this investigation are with us now, Jennifer Smith Richards of the Chicago Tribune and Jody S. Cohen of ProPublica. Jennifer, Jody, thank you for being with us on The 21st Show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Also joining us is Jackie Ross, an attorney with the Civitas Child Law Clinic, which is part of the law school at Loyola University Chicago. Jackie, welcome to The 21st. We're glad you could be with us as well.
Thank you for having me.
I should also note we emailed administrators in several schools mentioned in the investigation, including Pekin, Dundee Crown, and McHenry Community High Schools, as well as East Peoria Community High School District 309. None of them responded, but you can respond to what you're hearing by joining us at 800-222-9455. If you have a question for one of our guests, or maybe there's a young person in your life who's experienced what we're talking about, 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455, or tweet us at 21st Show. So Jennifer, I'm going to begin with you. Can you just sketch out what does this ticketing process look like on a day-to-day basis in some Illinois schools?
So it can vary from school district to school district, but very often what we saw in our reporting was a student might do something at school that breaks a rule, but might also be breaking a local ordinance. And in those cases, the school employee, often an administrator, would refer that student to the police. Sometimes that was the school resource officer or the campus police officer. And sometimes that meant actually calling the local police to come down. The police would then come, hear what the administrator had found about the behavior, about the incident, and then write a ticket to the student for violating local law.
And just to be clear, this is not then police officers putting handcuffs on children and taking them to the station and booking them or anything like that. This is a municipal violation?
Exactly. So it's not a criminal matter. When there are serious incidents on campus, police do, and they can and do arrest students for criminal behavior. This is not what we're talking about. What we're talking about here are, by definition, minor things that are technically civil in nature and not criminal.
And is anyone, Jennifer, tracking student ticketing statewide?
Yeah, that's one of the more fascinating things is that this is not something that is tracked. So schools are required to track each time police are involved in a student incident and each time that incident results in an arrest of a student. But there is no tracking of ticketing, which is actually the more common outcome we found in our reporting of police interactions. So no, there's no entity anywhere tracking this.
Jody, I mentioned that this violates the spirit, if not the letter, of some Illinois laws. Can you tell us about what are those laws that are in question here?
The Illinois General Assembly passed a law in 2015 as part of a broad school discipline law. One of the provisions of that law was that schools cannot issue monetary fines or fees in response to behavior. So they could not discipline a student by giving them a monetary fine. That is one law. A second law passed in 2019 that says that schools cannot refer students who are truant to another authority in order to get fined. So they can't tell the police that a student is truant from school for that, in order for that student to then get fined. So the second law, the truancy law, we found, you know, dozens of school districts since 2019 were still referring students for truancy to the police, and then tickets were getting issued. And for the first law, what we found was that schools are not directly fining the students as discipline, but like Jennifer said, they're telling the police about various behaviors, you know, possession of a vape or other offenses or other actions. And then they're telling the police, who are then issuing the ticket, which is a monetary fine in most cases.
Yeah. So for those keeping track at home, this is the school code 105 ILCS 5/10-22.6 subparagraph I. It's pretty plain. And it's one sentence. A student may not be issued a monetary fine or fee as a disciplinary consequence. It seems pretty clear, but as we talked about, State Superintendent Carmen Ayala's letter alluded to these laws, and which she characterized as a loophole between the school code and municipal code, which, as you say, school districts are using that to ticket students for misbehavior. She does not, Superintendent Ayala does not explicitly refer to it as illegal. Jody, could there be legal repercussions for schools that are doing this practice?
So that would take, can there be, perhaps someone would need to challenge this, you know, with a student who's been ticketed or a class of students, I suppose in the future, to test out whether using what Dr. Ayala says is a loophole, you know, is something that can be contested legally. And same for the truancy tickets. It would take somebody to challenge the issuing of those tickets in, and to test whether how that would hold up.
Jackie Ross, I want to bring you into the conversation now. You were quoted in the Tribune ProPublica investigation as characterizing the ticketing process as the next iteration of the school to prison pipeline. Can you expound on that? What do you mean by that?
Sure. So, you know, people have been referring to this 2015 kind of overhaul of school discipline in Illinois. And that was a recognition of the school to prison pipeline, and that we are criminalizing children for behaviors in school, and that these punitive responses were driving them further and further away from school, rather than helping re-engage them into school by providing therapeutic responses. You know, kids were being arrested, you know, put into juvenile detention, things like that. So, you know, I think a lot of school districts are saying to themselves, like, this isn't keeping them up at night. They're saying, oh, it's just, you know, citation. It's not as large of a consequence, but it really has the same emotional impact. It creates a distrust between the family and the school. And it, you know, I think drives the student further and further away from the school. It just creates obstacles that makes it less likely for them to succeed in the future, because, you know, these school officials who maybe used to be a trusted adult in their lives kind of betrayed them by referring them to these municipalities, putting their family under all of this stress. And so it's less likely that the student is going to listen to the official or, you know, the teacher in the future when they're trying to intervene and prevent future behaviors from occurring. So, you know, just makes it more likely for the kid to misbehave in the future. And I've seen parents withdraw their child from school and say they're going to homeschool the child instead because they can't stand the stress of these tickets. Mm. It makes kids less likely to graduate. It just has a lot of terrible implications.
All right, let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking about an investigation that came out last week from ProPublica and the Chicago Tribune, looking at the practice of a number of school districts around Illinois that when a student violates the disciplinary policy of the school, and it also happens to be a municipal ordinance violation, even though state law says schools cannot fine students for this kind of misbehavior, they refer the student to local authorities who then write a city ticket, basically, that carries a fine. No threat of prison with this, but it does carry a fine. And we'll talk a little later about the financial consequences that some families face because of this. We're speaking with the two reporters behind this story, Jennifer Smith Richards of the Tribune and Jody Cohen of ProPublica, as well as Jackie Ross, staff attorney at the Civitas Child Law Clinic, which is part of Loyola University. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. 800-222-9455. Jody, can you take us through what does the hearing process actually entail?
Different municipalities handle it differently. Some of them send ordinance violations to court where they are dealt with in a more informal matter, which I can get to. Other places, though, keep the hearings local. So Illinois allows what's called administrative adjudication. So Illinois doesn't have municipal courts, but there is this process where you can adjudicate or handle these tickets locally in the village hall or the police station. There'll be a hearing date once or twice, sometimes, you know, more times a month, but generally once or twice. And the hearings are overseen by a lawyer hired by the city. So you'll show up at the hearing with your ticket and either, you know, plead liable or not liable and make your case if you want to and be ordered to pay a fine. Often there's a prosecutor there who will make a deal with a student ahead of time. So the maximum penalties vary based on the municipality. They set their fines, but by state law, it can be up to $750. So often you'll see a prosecutor there meeting with a student and their parents and say, well, you know what, I will, if you'll agree to pay this amount, you know, plea liable, we will fine you, you know, this much money, whether it's $200 or $400. And then the student will go in front of the hearing officer and say, you know, I plead liable. And we've, you know, the prosecutor will say, we agreed to this amount. Other ones, as I said, other places, like in Tazewell County, they handle their ordinance violations at court where a judge will sign off on, generally sign off on a plea deal where again, the prosecutor outside of the courtroom or in the lobby of the hall will make an agreement with the student and an adult to, you know, come to some sort of agreement and then they'll go in front of the judge.
Jackie, are there, what legal protections do students have in these settings?
Well, they don't have a right to an attorney. I recently went to a hearing and the hearing officer said that in his many years of doing this work, he had never had a family have an attorney. They have some municipalities say they don't even have a right to recording of the hearing. They do have a right to appeal the decision. But a lot of families, as was covered in the article, aren't even made aware of that right to appeal. So the protections are quite light, I would say.
And are there requirements for the hearing officers in terms of their credentials or anything like that?
They have really, really light training. I don't think that they have anything specific to education law or what schools are required to do in terms of disability law, which is pretty complex. I don't think that they have any training around implicit bias or how there is such racial disproportionality when it comes to school discipline. I don't know that they're aware, at least the most recent hearing officer I encountered was completely unaware of this law that was passed in 2015. And I don't think that they're aware of the truancy law that was passed in 2019. you know, in their minds, there's still truancy laws that are on the books for municipalities, and therefore this is within their right to do.
And then we need to take a break in about a minute here. But before we do, I mean, in Illinois, juvenile records are not necessarily supposed to follow people into adulthood. Are these records expungible, or are they destroyed at a certain point?
There's some pathway. It depends on how it's kind of they proceed, where it could be. But for the most part, no, they are not. And so when a student, you know, is an adult and is applying for a job or is applying to go to college, depending on the wording of the application, you know, the question could be, have you ever been found to, you know, for anything, to have violated anything, you know, more significant than a parking citation, for example, they might have to divulge, yes, you know, I was. So this could have serious and very far-reaching implications.
Yeah, the great Lipton peach iced tea incident is going to follow someone for the rest of their life. All right, we need to take a break. 800-222-9455. Karen, Sam, stay on the line. We've got your calls in the queue. Some interesting discussion ahead. We're going to talk about how these fines and fees affect the families of these students and also where things might go from here. 800-222-9455 if you want to join the discussion. Stay with us. This is The 21st Show. This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. 800-222-9455. If you want to join us, we're talking about a story that came out last week from ProPublica in the Chicago Tribune by Jody Cohen and Jennifer Smith Richards, who are with us. It's about schools that refer students' disciplinary cases to local police authorities. These are not things that would result in an arrest. These are municipal ordinance violations. Things like bringing a vape pen to school is one example. Another one was came out in this story was a student who shoved a friend over a bottle of Lipton peach iced tea. And he was basically, I can't remember the exact word that was in. It was an unusual word. I had to go to the dictionary to look it up, but it was basically creating a disturbance. And truancy is something else, that even though that is expressly forbidden by Illinois law to refer students who are truant to police, that is something else that was documented in this story. So again, Jennifer Richards, Jody Cohen are with us, also Jackie Ross, who's a staff attorney at the Civitas Child Law Clinic at the law school at Loyola University, Chicago. 800-222-9455. And I want to go to line one, Karen in Peoria. Thank you for calling in.
Hi, good afternoon. So I have a question. I understand the Lipton peach tea incident, and that's obviously dramatized and unfortunate in my opinion. But what are some of the other, how serious are some of the disciplinary issues? That's one of my questions. The second question is, I think Peoria Public Schools was specifically mentioned in this story earlier, and I'm a parent of two children that attend Peoria Public Schools. So I'd like to know, you know, demographically throughout the state, where are we seeing the majority of these issues? And then I have a question comment about how the State Board of Education and the regional offices of education are working with local school districts and working with teachers to address some of the added pressure and stress that they're under, as well as parents and students alike.
Sure.
Sorry, that's all very long.
No, that's a lot, Karen. Thank you so much for the call, Karen. And if you want to stick around, you can. But let's take those one by one. And Jennifer, I'll begin with you. What sort of the Lipton peach iced tea, it was in the lead of your story. I mentioned it up top because it's a dramatic example. But what sorts of is there a pattern to the sort of violations you were seeing?
Yeah, we were really fortunate in that when we got records back from schools and from police, we very often had a detailed description of what had happened. So we were able to see how common it was for kids to be ticketed for really typical, you know, kind of teenage behavior. So it's exactly what you imagine results in discipline at school. So things like fights, right? Shoving matches, one child, you know, slapping another. We encountered kids who were trying to stop someone from taking video of them at school and reached out and, you know, swatted away a cell phone and were charged with disorderly conduct for that. It was incredibly common for students to be ticketed for having a vape pen, you know, in their backpacks, in the bathroom. I mean, everybody can identify, I think, with smoking in the locker room. It's those types of things that are largely being ticketed. And as I said earlier, really serious offenses are not the ones that are going to result in a ticket. Police can and do arrest students for more serious behavior, like having a weapon on campus or a fight that results in really serious injury.
And what did schools tell you? I mean, I think one of the things that Karen was alluding to is the, you know, the mental health support of teachers. And if maybe if you do have a student who is, you know, consistently misbehaving and maybe school discipline is not viewed as enough, that, you know, some schools might say, well, this is the next step that we can take. What did you hear in your reporting from school districts about why they're doing this?
Yeah, I mean, we did hear fairly often from educators that, you know, kids are tough and it's hard to work with teenagers, especially now post-pandemic when students are returning to school with some, you know, some trauma and some troubling behavior. And I think that educators sometimes feel really pressed for what to do when school level discipline like suspensions, they feel isn't changing a student's behavior. They do feel like turning to police is the next level of consequence.
And I think Karen also had a question about where this is happening. She said she's a parent in the Peoria school districts. Jody, can you talk about the geographic reach of your reporting?
Yes. And one thing we did was we took all the information we gathered from all of these, you know, nearly 200 schools and districts and put it online. So anybody can go look up their school or district or any other school in Illinois and see what we were able to identify through the records we got. So if you go to ProPublica.org or you search, you know, the price kids pay and Tribune and ProPublica, you can get to our lookup tool and see for yourself how many tickets were issued and for what reasons in Peoria public schools or anywhere else. We found tickets issued in all parts of the state. So sometimes we would see clusters like in the Peoria area where several school districts in that area were you know, ticketing for similar reasons or in the northern suburbs of Chicago or in the south suburbs of Chicago. So we saw pockets or clusters, but we really saw this throughout, you know, the state.
Let me ask about a point on that. I was not surprised to read that New Trier, which, you know, for people who may not be familiar, is one of the wealthiest. It's sort of people often refer to it as the emblematic wealthy school district in Illinois, that they are not fining students, although they do make them pay an administrative fee associated with community service. Jackie, I wonder, when you look at which districts are doing this, did you see a sort of socioeconomic pattern?
Absolutely. I tend to get involved with families that are coming from low-income districts. And when I show up to represent families, you know, I've brought law students who are always struck by how everyone on, you know, our side of the room tends to be a person of color. So I think that's definitely a theme, low-income families of color.
All right, let's go back to the phones, 800-222-9455. Sam is on line 4 from Springfield. Sam, thank you for calling in.
Hey, no problem. Thank you for having me. And thanks to Jennifer and Jody for the great, and Armando, who's not with us, for the great reporting job they did in the Chicago Tribune. My name's Sam Kamen. I served as an alderman on the Springfield City Council for 8 years. And it was brought to me by one of my constituents that these fines there for ordinance violations, and this was, you know, not necessarily school-related, but things like curfew violations or underage drinking, that when the ordinance violation fines were assessed against the students or the under the minors, it's the parents who were paying the fines, so that the people who committed the wrongful conduct weren't even paying any price or learning any lessons from the wrongful conduct they were engaged in. So I passed an ordinance on the council that authorized the municipal court judge to impose community service instead of a fine, and that way the kid could actually do the community service and would possibly learn something, and something positive would come out of the whole thing. And I think that's another problem. Even if these ordinance violations are going to be, you know, the kids are going to be found in violation, you know, what good does it do if their parents pay the fines? It doesn't help them. And as you said, you know, it's on their record. It's not expungible like a criminal record. So that's the point I wanted to make.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you for the call, Sam. Appreciate it. One more time, if you want to join us, 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. We're speaking with Jennifer Smith Richards of the Chicago Tribune, Jody Cohen of ProPublica, about their story looking at schools that referred students for disciplinary violations to local police. These are not major. This is not bringing a weapon or hard drugs to school or anything like that. These are things like vape pen, fighting, things like that. They referred them to local authorities who issued a fine, basically, a ticket in many cases, instead of just the normal school discipline. We're also speaking with Jackie Ross, an attorney at the Civitas Child Law Clinic, 800-222-9455. And Jennifer, Sam brought up a good point, which is, you know, often it's the families paying these fines, not the students themselves. As you might expect when you have like a 12-year-old getting a multi-hundred-dollar fine. How do the tickets affect the families of these students, Jennifer?
We had lots of families kind of say to us, like, hey, my kid is 12, they're 13, they don't have a job. They can't pay a fine, it's me. You know, it's me, the mother, who's going to pay the fine and struggle to do so. And we encountered over and over and over families who were in this situation, had a very large fine to pay and could not pay it. And the consequences of not paying a fine in many communities are really serious. There are many communities that will send unpaid debt, even for student tickets, even for ticket from a 12-year-old to collections. And that can be something that can really, you know, affect people's credit. And there, we also found occasions where the community will hang on to a debt collection until the student turns 18 and then pursue that debt. And in that case, it's directly harming the student's credit. We identified occasions as well where ticket debt had been sent through a state program that can claw back tax refunds and even garnish wages. So the implications are very real on families and really affect their financial well-being.
And just to be clear, where is the money going from this ticketing process? Are the schools benefiting in any way?
We never identified any schools that were benefiting from the money. The money essentially goes to fund the hearing process and the ticketing system itself. So, you know, it costs money to have a hearing officer and a prosecutor. And to, you know, administer the hearings, to have a clerk at the hearings. So the ticket fines quite often are being spent to run the system.
You know, Jackie, I don't want to put you too much on the spot, I hope, with this question, but I mean, this is fines and fees in the criminal justice system are part of a broader conversation that's been happening for a number of years in Illinois, around the country. You know, in Illinois, if someone is convicted of a misdemeanor, they may end up paying many times the actual fine, criminal fine, that they're found to violate, because there's probation fees and spinal cord injury fund fees and document fees, and the various government agencies all get a cut of that. Do you see this as part of a broader conversation happening around the way, you know, money is a part of criminal justice?
Absolutely, yeah, and I see it. It's very obvious that our low-income families of color are the one that are bearing the brunt of these policies. and that we really need to look at them and reassess them and align our responses more to what evidence suggests is actually effective.
Jody, let's talk about some of the reaction to the story. I mentioned a while ago now at the beginning of our conversation about State Superintendent Carmen Ayala. What are you seeing out there in terms of how people are responding to the story?
We've had response or reaction from various corners. So, of course, as you already said, Dr. Ayala sent that very strongly worded letter to superintendents and principals on Thursday night saying, basically, cut it out, like, stop doing this now. It's not effective. And it's really harming your families. The Governor Pritzker spoke about it on Friday, saying he imagines that this is something that the legislature will take up. And we've, spoken to some lawmakers who've worked in the past to try to get better past laws that would require schools to provide data on who is being arrested and impacted by police in schools. That legislation has stalled in the past, but there is some, there could be some discussion about that. So I think there's right now talk about it, talk about, what may happen. And we're hearing from some school officials who are taking a look at their codes of conduct and looking to see, and their policies with police officers to see when, to really codify when police should get involved and when they shouldn't. We've also heard from families and who've been impacted by tickets. We have a way through our websites to submit information if you have been affected by school ticketing, and we have received a bunch of responses to that we are looking through as well. And so if this is something that's impacted you and your family, or you're a lawyer in this space, or an advocate, there is a forum that where we're gathering more information so that we can continue reporting on this.
And we'll be sure to put a link to your reporting and all that information at our website, 21stshow.org. And I guess my last question is, were any of the schools, you mentioned some schools that you spoke with or said they would sort of evaluate their policies. Did anyone seem sheepish at all about this? Maybe that's getting a little too emotional in how to describe it, but take it where you will.
Maybe a little bit. I mean, we did have one school district acknowledge that the truancy tickets that had been issued since 2019 were in violation of the law. There was that recognition.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to thank Jody Cohen of ProPublica, Jennifer Smith Richards of the Chicago Tribune, and Jackie Ross, adjunct professor and staff attorney at the Civitas Child Law Clinic, Loyola University, Chicago. Jackie, Jody, Jennifer, thank you so much for being with us on the 21st show today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, the piece is we'll link to it from our website, 21stshow.org. It's called The Price Kids Pay: Schools and Police Punish Students with Costly Tickets for Minor Misbehavior. I should add, on tomorrow's show, coming up on Thursday, we're planning to discuss the apparent leaked draft opinion, which looks like the U.S. Supreme Court is looking to overturn the Roe versus Wade precedent, allowing states to make their own laws regarding the legality of reproductive health services and abortion. We'd love to hear from you in advance of that. Go to 21stshow.org, send us an email, or leave us a voicemail. Again, you can find that information at 21stshow.org. More to come after a short break. This is The 21st. Stay with us.